So there are two stories in today's reading, and they both involve poor widows. And perhaps there were rich widows in those times as well, but certainly these two readings have to do with poor widows. In the first reading, you have Elijah who's fleeing the enemies, and he comes upon this poor widow. There was a famine in the place. They had barely anything left to eat. They were going to eat what they have and die. They were desperately poor. And then in the gospel reading, you have Jesus expressing his admiration for this poor widow who the gospel says, out of her poverty, carefully chosen words, out of her poverty gave everything that she had. So these are two thought-provoking stories, and here are my 3 points for us today. I said in my introduction something about the invitation to be poor. Let me explain what I meant by that. See, both in the Old and the New Testament, the poor find very special mention. The Hebrew people were slaves when God chose to save them. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a poor girl from a poor family. Jesus was poor. He was born in a stable, fled as an immigrant and a refugee, lived the life of an itinerant. When he was born, it was the poor shepherds to whom the angels announced the good news. And when he began his ministry, Jesus ministered to the poorest and the undeserved of them all. In his teaching, Jesus lifted up the poor. We just sang in our psalm response, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In the Gospel of Luke, it's even different because Jesus addresses the poor directly. He says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." Now, when I look at myself, I realize that I am not poor. I'm not rich, but I'm certainly not poor. If Prophet Elijah was looking for a place today, a home to visit today, would the Prophet Elijah come to my house? Of all the people gathered in this church, would Jesus take notice of you, of me, somebody sitting next to me? Who would Jesus take notice of today in this gathering? And why? One thing is clear. But in the scriptures, it's the poor always to whom God came. So here is something for us to think about. In the Gospels, in fact, in all of scripture, poverty is a virtue. The Gospels invite us to be both poor and poor in spirit. Now, what does it mean to be poor? What does it mean to be poor in spirit? See, our society has a very skewed understanding of poverty and riches. I can't forget something that happened in my life. I want to say it's about 28, 29 years now. While we were in the seminary, for a whole week, we had to fend for ourselves. They gave us just the initial amount to survive for a day, and then we were supposed to just go out and somehow make money and survive for a week. Nothing from the seminary, no meals, just come back and stay at night, but otherwise try to find work. And so we went, the three of us formed one group, and we went to this place where they were laying huge water pipes. And there were laborers there who were actually digging the pit, just bare hands and a pickaxe. So we decided to join them. We talked to the contractor. We decided to join them. And the story is long. However, we were not used to this kind of work. We barely made some money. But in the process, I broke the equipment that belonged to the contractor. And at the end of the day, the wages of all three of us was not enough to replace what I had broken. So not only did he not pay us, but we had to pay what we had in our pockets to get out of the mess. In any case, all day working with us was this woman. I want to say she was in her mid-30s maybe. And she had a kid who was playing in this, a little child, a toddler, who was playing on this, the mud and all that all day. In any case, this woman had been watching this entire drama, and when she realized what happened, she felt really bad for us. So she said, "You have to come to my house for dinner." And honestly, I didn't want to eat at her house. I mean, she was filthy, she was dirty, I knew what. She insisted, we went. Her house was probably, it was a shanty, it was just tent, it was a tent. It was about that big maybe. The floor was just the ground, dirt, thatched roof. She went outside, made food with the firewood that she had collected. It was just rice and lentils. We sat there for an hour. She came in with the food, and then she served us, and she insisted that we eat and that she and her little son would eat later. Now in India, that's very common because the hosts generally will not eat with the guests. They want to serve the guests and the hosts eat later. So it's pretty okay to do that. But we knew what the whole story was. There wasn't enough for the five of us. There really wasn't. So we insisted that she eat with us. So from sitting on the floor, sitting on the dirt, in one plate, from one plate, five of us had the food that she had made. I want to tell you, it was the most unhygienic meal I've ever had in my life. But that meal cannot beat the banquets I've had in my entire life. Every time I read the story of Elijah, this is the story that comes to my mind, because this story is true, it's real, it has happened to me. Folks, this woman, from society's perspective, is the poorest of the poor. But from the gospel perspective, I think she would be the one who would be noticed by Jesus. I have learned very early in my life, there is something about the richness of the poor. And there's something very sad about the poverty of those who are rich. There's something about the richness of the poor. There's something very sad about the poverty of those who are wealthy. Not everybody, but many. So that is why I said today that today's gospel invites us to be poor, because there is a richness in the poverty of the poor. So So here then is the most important question. We are not poor, right? So what does it mean for us to be either poor or poor in spirit? What is this gospel virtue of poverty? First of all, poverty is not to be mistaken with misery. Gospel doesn't invite us to be miserable. God doesn't find pleasure in seeing his children miserable. The gospel does not extol misery, but rather poverty and simplicity. So to be poor means, first of all, to acknowledge that everything that I am and that I have, first of all, belongs to God. It's not mine. And there is a tremendous amount of value in that kind of detachment. What I am and what I have, first of all, belongs to God. To be poor or poor in spirit means that I make all that I have available to God. Again, there's a tremendous value in that kind of detachment. God, this is what I have. It's yours. It's available to you. If you want me to use this in a way that I resist, but yet you want it to, I'm happy to do that. That kind of detachment, that's the meaning of being poor. To be poor and poor in spirit means that I recognize that I am only as rich as the poorest person in my neighborhood. I am only as rich as the poorest person in the world. To be poor means that I'm able to enter into the lives of the poorest of the poor and find myself there. Sometimes we just lack the compassion to enter into the lives of the poor. To be poor means to assign dignity to every human person, immaterial of their wealth, their power, their race or status. To be poor really means to look at every person in the way that God looks at them, immaterial of how wealthy they are, what their color of their skin is, what their status is, or whether they have any influence in society. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. The Eucharist is a lesson in poverty and poverty of spirit. To be poor or poor in spirit is to be like Jesus in this Eucharist. People of God said,